And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A trial is set to start tomorrow in Ketchikan to determine if the posting of a traditional Southeast Native value in public schools violates the First Amendment. Two parents filed a lawsuit last year alleging that Ketchikan's charter schools use of one of the values, reverence for our Creator, is an unconstitutional reference to religion. KRBD's Reagan Miller reports.
Is the traditional Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian value of showing reverence for our Creator a religious idea? That's the question at the heart of a lawsuit filed by parents Justin Brees and Rebecca King against the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District. That value is one of 14 developed by Alaska Native elders over a decade ago at the 2004 Elders Forum on Traditional Values. Posters featuring the 14 values hang on the walls of Ketchikan schools. Brees and King are asking a judge to order the district to remove the posters and stop using reverence for our Creator in a behavioral reward system. Brees declined to comment ahead of the trial, but he summarized his concerns at a school board meeting in April 2022.
My concern is that these aren't being included as any kind of lesson. These are just a posting that's made in every classroom in the school district, as far as I know. And I'd like some kind of direction to the superintendent to have it removed and maybe come up with a better plan.
Brees said he'd like to see the values used as part of a lesson on culture in the classroom, not posted in the school without explanation or context. Ketchikan School District has argued in court filings that reverence for our Creator isn't a religious value at its core. Attorneys for the district say the value is actually about showing respect for the natural world. Several prominent Southeast Native leaders plan to attend the trial to show support for the use of tribal values in schools. Chathia Ish Richard Peterson is the president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, which put together the list of values.
This represents who we are, and reverence for Creator is one piece of that.
Peterson thinks a discussion about the value would have been more beneficial than a lawsuit.
I think rather than seeing a poster and taking issue with it, you might actually engage and learn about the people who from these lands. What does it mean? Rather than litigating and saying, I don't like your religious views, how about finding out what they even are?
Gloria Burns is the former president of Ketchikan's federally recognized tribe. She explained the meaning behind the values and says they're intertwined with a Native way of life.
That aspect and that reverence for creation and is a cornerstone of our culture. And you really can't talk about us as Indigenous people, as people, first people of the land, when you omit that conversation.
Burns says the inclusion of tribal values in school programming helps keep Indigenous students engaged in classes. And she says integrating tribal values is a step towards addressing historical wrongs.
I do believe that the school has a responsibility to step up and recognize that that our school systems and residential schools played an important role in the reason why colonization had such a dramatic effect.
In decisions ahead of the trial, Judge Catherine Librand has declined to throw out Brees and King's suit. Most recently, she denied the district's motion for summary judgment, which would have avoided a trial, saying that the district hadn't fully proven the value wasn't religious. The bench trial is set to run Tuesday and Wednesday in Ketchikan Superior Court. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
Alaska State Troopers and other state public safety officials will soon begin wearing body cameras. The State Department of Public Safety released its final body-worn camera policy today. Spokesman Austin McDaniel says 30 officers have already been equipped with the cameras.
These troopers and officers can provide us feedback on the policy, the technology, some of the logistics concerns to make sure that we have everything in place before we go and issue out cameras to every state trooper, every wildlife trooper, every court services officer, deputy fire marshal, and village public safety officer that's working throughout the state.
McDaniel says the initial camera rollout is happening in interior and south central Alaska, down to the Kenai Peninsula, as well as in southeast and in Kodiak. He says the department aims to get all troopers equipped by the end of the year. A draft of the policy was released in February for public comment. McDaniel says the 9-page final policy did not change much, and there's still a requirement that troopers keep the cameras on at all times while dealing with the public, except during specific circumstances.
You know, troopers will still be expected to, you know, activate their body-worn camera once they're issued one in the same manner that they activate their dash camera system today or a personal audio recorder.
The policy allows for the public to get access to camera footage through a records request. The Public Safety Department can also preemptively release footage of critical incidents, like trooper shootings, before investigations have been completed. McDaniel says the state hopes the cameras will help complement existing police work and build community trust.
We do believe these are going to enhance our investigations. These are going to keep our officers safe. These are going to really help us with better prosecutions and increase the transparency that the public has and, you know, continue to bolster the trust that the public has in the Alaska State Troopers.
The cameras are being paid for using about $3.6 million from the state and another roughly $1 million in federal grants. Meanwhile, there is still no timeline for when the Anchorage Police Department, the state's largest law enforcement agency, will outfit its officers with body-worn cameras more than 2 years after voters approve them. Last month, the city's chief of police announced the department would go forward with implementing the cameras while negotiations with the police officers union continue. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will reconsider the Pebble Company's permit proposal to build a mine at the headwaters of Bristol Bay. The announcement comes just 3 months after the Environmental Protection Agency vetoed the project through a separate process. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
Dennis McLaren was the region's EPA administrator during the Obama presidency and now works at a law firm in Seattle.
It's a bit surprising and a bit confusing.
The EPA exercised its authority under the Clean Water Act to stop Pebble in January. It determined that such a mine would have unacceptable adverse effects on salmon fishery areas around the mine site, and many opponents of the project hailed that as the final blow. McLaren says that decision precludes any permit issued by the Army Corps.
EPA has now made a final determination, and so in any event, the Corps could not issue a 404 permit for the mine. So it is a bit surprising and a bit confusing as to, you know, why the Corps entertained the appeal and issued, you know, a remand on it.
In 2020, the Corps rejected Pebble's federal permit application to build a large open-pit copper and gold mine. The company appealed that decision. In its Tuesday announcement, the Corps' Pacific Ocean Division engineer, Kirk Gibbs, said he found specific portions of Pebble's appeal warranted another look, although that doesn't mean the Corps will reauthorize Pebble's permit. Pebble spokesperson Mike Heatwell says the announcement shows the company's appeal holds water, and he says they want the mine to meet environmental requirements for permitting.
A mine in Alaska and in the United States has to coexist with that fishery. You know, we view that as very important. We know that for the residents of Bristol Bay, it's an important, not only commercial, but cultural resource. And all of that has to be factored into this project.
At the heart of the Corps' decision is whether its permit denial adequately assesses the risks the mine would pose to the environment. Mine opponents like United Tribes of Bristol Bay Executive Director Alana Hurley say it's another reason why they are pursuing watershed-wide protections through federal legislation.
Not only to address this project with this company that is refusing to give up, but the many other active mining claims throughout the region.
The Army Corps' Alaska District now has to review the decision to deny Pebble a federal permit and take the EPA's veto into consideration in the process. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola is losing her chief of staff. Alex Ortiz was the last chief of staff before for Peltola's predecessor, Congressman Don Young. Peltola hired Ortiz after she won the special election to fill out the remainder of Young's term while she was still campaigning to win a full term. The hiring of Ortiz helped smooth the transition and projected to voters that she intended to cross party lines and to fulfill Young's legacy. Peltola says Ortiz will serve an important role with her on her 2024 campaign, leading outreach to his home region of Southeast Alaska and to Republicans. Ortiz plans to launch a career in government relations. Deputy Chief of Staff Anton McParland will take over Ortiz's official duties. And as for the weather, it's currently 49 degrees and cloudy here in Juneau. This afternoon, there's a slight chance of rain, but that increases to a pretty sure chance tonight. Tomorrow, more rain is on the forecast with a high of 49. There might be some sun later in the week, like Thursday and Friday. You're listening to KTOO.